Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. Joining me today is my co-host today, Steven Burgum. What's going on, Steven?
Hey, Jake. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah. Two times in 3 weeks. Two times this season.
Yeah, it's fun. It.
Yeah. You know, week three's in the books. Right now we're recording halftime of the Lions and Baltimore game. It's 14-14. But, you know, looking at week three, the injuries just keep piling up. You know, it just keeps going and going and going. But you and I will talk about the injuries, our thoughts on week three, over and under reactions, potential trade targets, and finally we'll close it out with our waivers. So we got a lot to cover. Only a little time for both of us, but without further ado, let's get fantasy. Well, you're Steven. You know, tell the listeners and viewers a little bit about yourself. Give them a little taste of what you are or who you are.
I'm Steven. I'm Jake's brother-in-law. I am a huge a fantasy nut, I guess. And I basically do fantasy and play golf.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to be like, how did you spend your week three? But I already know exactly what we did, or you did. Yeah. You know, you just had a birthday last week. Congrats. Way to join the 30 club. I won't tell you, but it only goes downhill from here. But yeah, so week three, you know, we spent pretty much all day on the golf course. And hey, you know what? With how bad the Packers played, and that's the teams that we both root for. I don't think we missed too much there, but we did miss a lot of injuries nonetheless.
Yeah, there was a lot this week.
Also, if you are from Wisconsin or around Wisconsin, check out Steven's podcast as well. So if you want to tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I am the host of a podcast, The Bogey Breakdown. My brother and I are trying to go and document our journey playing every golf course here in the state of Wisconsin. So this is our first season. So yeah, check us out.
Definitely check out The Bogey Breakdown. Well, where do we start with injuries? You know, I guess let's just start with the bad news. James Conner injured his ankle. It's severe enough. He went under surgery, I think, already today. It's been reported he will miss the rest of the season. Steven, what do you think about this news, and how do you feel about it?
Man, James Conner's been like a stud. He's great at grinding the end zone for a lot of years. He always had been injury prone, but you hate to see an injury like this at this age of a guy. Kind of feel like it might be the end. It does give good things for those people that are holding Trey Benson.
Yeah, definitely. For me, he's never stayed healthy for the entire season, so I didn't expect him this season to be any different. I mean, he is 30. Last season, he only missed last game of the year. It's just so sad to see like these guys, like Austin Ekeler last week, 30 years old, torn Achilles. Now James Conner will be missing the rest of the season, and he's 30, and that's not really going to be helpful for 30-year-old running backs coming into playing and having meaningful snaps.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Next is CeeDee Lamb. He is on the list, suffered a high ankle sprain. It's a 4 to 6 week recovery time. Right now, it's been reported that he will miss week four and get re-evaluated 10 to 14 days. But we see this day in, day out. Like, this always happens. Be like a IR injury, you know, putting him on there for 4 weeks. Steven, from your viewpoint, from the viewpoint I seen, like, I thought he broke it. Like, just the way it bent and everything. Do you have any shares of him?
I do. Yeah, I have him in the DAC stack. And yeah, when I saw that video, I thought for sure he broke his ankle. I mean, it looked bad. Yeah, I would say it probably couldn't have come at a better time when the Packers go play him next week. Because Dak is like a little CD's Dak's a little blanky. So
yep. Who's going to step up though without him here? I mean, I think there's an obvious choice, but who else?
Yeah, I think that you're going to see like kind of what you saw at the end of the game. You know, you're going to get George Pickens, and then I would say probably Jake Ferguson. He's going to be heavily involved, and I think, you know, you might get some of the other wide receivers that they have, but they don't have a huge cast behind behind CD and Pickens. So I think it's going to be a lot of Pickens.
Yeah, I think Pickens, as long as he doesn't lose his focus and his helmet is intact, breaking it on the sidelines. But yeah, I mean, Turpin, he's very good with the ball in his hands, very fast, you know, electric. I think you're right. I think Jake Ferguson, I might have as my start of the week this coming week, just because he's been dominant. He's been commanding targets, and he looked great at the end of the game from what I mean. And it's just unfortunate for CD Lamb. He was my number one wideout for this season. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the case with him this time.
I would say so.
Next, another bad injury. Najee Harris ended up tearing his Achilles. He'll miss the rest of the season. So even if, you know, with the torn Achilles, where will Omarion Hampton rank the rest of the season?
Well, we saw what happened when they got the better back on the field. For people that have shares of Omarion Hampton, it is good to not have Najee Harris in front. It sucks that it has to be an injury like that. I think that Omarion Hampton is going to be for sure an RB1 rest of the season, which is good because there's a few leagues that I drafted him early, and it was a little nervous for the first couple weeks.
Definitely. I mean, easily a RB1. I see him finishing as a top five running back. I mean, the wait is over, guys. The wait is over. Yep. He is going to explode. He did this past week. He showed you what he can do. He's only back there. I mean, there's not much more behind him. And in an offense that usually Harbaugh has as a run-first team, expect a lot of running with Hampton. And also, he's catching the ball out of the backfield too. Yep. So PPR leagues, it's going to help a lot. Other injuries, Colson Loveland injured his hip, did not return. Samaje Perine injured his right thumb, did not return. Alec Pierce, concussion. Dyami Brown, out with a shoulder injury. Michael Mayer, concussion. Tyrone Tracy suffered a bad dislocated shoulder, will miss time. Terry McLaurin injured his quad, did not return. And Mike Evans, it's only a matter of time before a hamstring was going to be coming up, and he went out, and I'm sure he's not going to be playing soon enough. Which of these injuries are you worried about, and what is your thoughts?
I'd say probably like the biggest one, obviously, is Mike Evans, especially with having Chris Godwin out right now. Yep. This is not a great time for him, you know, to get an injury like that. I think that's going to hurt Baker and the Bucks. I think that probably out of the rest of these, Tyrone Tracy, I'd say, would probably be the biggest one for a boost for a guy like Cam Scadaboo.
Yep.
But the rest of them, you know, Terry McLaurin was finally getting kind of after this holdout. You see this every year, and it's like, I wish guys would see that, like, yes, these guys that hold out, they're getting this money, but for the most part, every single one of them gets injured. You know, that's, I mean, they come back, you're not ready to play football, they come back, they get injured, and then it just takes them forever to get back into the offense too, I feel like.
Yeah, build that rapport with his quarterback. I mean, he was missing him this week, and
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks. Mike Evans, yeah, that's a bad injury because it happens each year. And every year it gets like another game on top of what it was the year before because he's getting older.
Yep.
And, I mean, hell, this is amazing news for Emeka Buka owners. Like,
yep,
this is amazing. But like you said, Chris Godwin, we don't know what's going to happen. When is he going to return? Hopefully Evans actually returns quicker than we expect. And who's the other guy that they had last year?
McMillan.
Yeah, Jalen McMillan. He's hurt too. He's on IR with a neck injury. So next guy up is Sterling Shepard, I do believe. And Tez Johnson might be a great add as well, though, in that because Tez Johnson will take the Mike Evans role and stretch the defense. Don't be surprised if he's a big add this week. Terry McLaurin, yeah, it just sucks. I mean, we'll know more about his injury later this week, but I just don't know what to do just because I was expecting him to start clicking right now, and unfortunately, he just went down.
Yep.
Let's take a look at some of these games. Since we didn't watch the first slate of the games because hell, we were chasing your golf ball or my golf ball.
Yeah.
What is your favorite box score watching game?
I liked the Jets and the Buccaneers game. That one was just fun, you know, to kind of keep tabs on, and the Rams and the Eagles game. And it's been a ton of fun watching the Colts and seeing Danny Dimes just come out there and looking like he was a first round quarterback.
Yeah.
Kind of just shows you that New York is just not good for quarterbacks. Those are probably my favorite ones to watch.
Maybe not good for players, you know, like Saquon just goes off and
yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm happy that Indy, I mean, their defense has been pretty solid as well.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor just
Taylor's RB1 so good. Material. Is he picked up right where he left off last year, like you and I we were talking on the course. He's looking like a stud, and I love it.
Yeah, and it's good for the team, and it's good that, you know, he's a Wisconsin boy, and it kind of shows, you know, he was the number two running back picked in that draft. He should have been number one. Everybody had him as number one. They just didn't pick him number one.
Yeah,
and then as a first running back because he was from Wisconsin.
Yep. And then on top of that, like, the best thing is, yes, Danny Dimes will take touchdowns away occasionally, but Anthony Richardson last year always took touchdowns away. And this week, 102 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he still caught 3 balls for 16.
Like,
he's performing in both the run game and the rush or the receiving. And after him, they got 3 carries by the backups for 9 yards. It's all Jonathan Taylor, and that's what you want in a bell cow running back. And you probably got him in the second round in your redraft league. So amazing ROI on that one.
For sure.
For me, I'm going to say the Bears and the Cowboys. Vegas had it as 50.5 points. And as you know, I am a huge believer in Caleb Williams. It's hard to say as a Packer fan, but I do see a lot of promise in him. And he did not disappoint, throwing for 298 and four passing touchdowns. I'm just going to put it out there. He's going to be the first Bear over 30. He finally got with DJ Moore for his first touchdown on the season. But Williams and Adunze, like, they're connecting on all cylinders. And four times they scored together. I think those two are both a start until further notice.
Yeah, Adunze, I mean, he was the deal of the draft so far. I mean, he's been on fire for the whole season.
Yep.
Whoever got him got a good deal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he only had three catches, but you had seven targets, 62 yep. and a touchdown, but he's producing numbers for you. What was your most surprising game this week?
Well, Packers getting beat by the Browns after you know, shutting them out until 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and then they coming back and winning. That was just it was hard to see. I would say that one that would surprise me a lot was how badly the Cowboys got beat by the Bears. Like, that was very surprising to me. The Bears have not looked good this year. No. But then also how much the Commanders stomped on the Raiders. That one surprised me a lot, because the Raiders looked like they had a good defense against the Chargers last week, and then to come out and give up 41 points, it was pretty incredible. And then how inept the Bengals looked versus the Vikings, and that whole team, and Jake Browning just looking like garbage. That surprised me a lot, because Jake Browning was a pretty decent quarterback the last time we saw him play a lot of, but that Viking defense is very scary.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I mean, surprisingly, it's just how many defensive touchdowns there were. It was just notifications like, oh, black punt for touchdown, the Eagles end the game.
Yep.
How many black punts there were, or kicks? How many interceptions for touchdowns? I mean, the Vikings had, what, two? One interception and one fumble return?
Yeah, both by the same player.
I think they – oh, that's right, that's right. Yep. I think they just actually said on the game today, there's like 7 or 9 defensive touchdowns, first time in like 20 years. It's just crazy in one weekend.
Yeah, there was a lot.
My most surprising is easily the Falcons getting shut out by the Panthers.
Like, yep.
I thought it was supposed to be the other way around, thinking Falcons were going to walk all over them. And, wow, Michael Penix had a rough game and was later replaced by Kirk Cousins, which potentially they're shadowing what he can still do, Bengals, for a potential trade, and you never know.
Never know. I don't know if the Bengals can afford to trade for him. I mean,
Falcons can eat his cost for
while. Yeah, they'd have to eat a lot.
Yeah. And then also, like, Bijan Robinson, yeah, he had 72 yards, but I was expecting at least 100 plus a score, yeah, if not more. And he did little to nothing for overall from that aspect. Like, I seen also they never even went past Carolina's 31-yard line.
Yeah.
That is bad, just seeing.
Yeah, you know, that was pathetic.
I don't even know what the Vegas odds were on that game, but I don't know how Carolina's looked like dog crap the first two games, and they came out and stomped the Falcons. And that's probably easily my most surprising game.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Packers, they always fall for the trap games. Bengals, I thought they'd put up a little bit more fight. And I'm surprised that Jets actually played as well as they did with Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
I mean, the block kick for a touchdown at the end also helps a lot, but nonetheless. Before we get our over and under reactions, let's hear from the pod father about FitPod.
Earlier this year, I tore my rotator cuff, had surgery, it was a mess. They said, oh, it's going to be a year of rehab. And I said, okay. I found an app, FitBod. which lets me plan my workouts, keep the strength of my lower body, but work on strength and conditioning and flexibility of my shoulder. And man, I so wish I had found it earlier. It plans your workouts every day, how many reps, what time of day, even gives you indicators of where your recovery of your muscles is at throughout the week. It has been an invaluable tool. It's something I credit with my recovery. Working out had always been a mystery to me before. Now with FitBod, that mystery has been solved. Go to fitbod.me, fitbod.me, and use code PLAYER. Use code PLAYER to get 25% off. That is fitbod.me. FITBOD.ME/player to get your body to where you want it to be.
Yeah, go ahead and download FitBod. Over and under reactions, Steven, I know last time we did 10. Let's cut that in half and let's do 5 today. But these are 5 top tier players. Are we going over or under react? You ready?
Yep.
Number 1, Brian Thomas Jr.
I'm very scared. You and I talked about it on Sunday. I think I'm going to bench him. I have him in several leagues, and you know, I've got guys that I've been starting him over that, you know, our top 10 guys right now that you wouldn't think. And he's just been hurting me. I'm very scared. The whole entire Jacksonville offense looks like a mess. And man, Trevor Lawrence, he has not been good. He never deserved that contract that he got.
Yep.
He's someone that's getting paid based off his college production still.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, I'm overreacting as well. He's scaring me. Being drafted as a late first, mid second round pick in your redrafts, he's not giving us our return at all. But can we start saying that Trevor Lawrence is not the chosen one? Like, he's got so much hype, you know, oh, this quarterback is the best one since Andrew Luck or whatever. What has he done besides became the richest quarterback for a yep. little while? Nothing. And not everything's on the players, but like Liam Cohen, how are we, like, can they get that going? I thought he was supposed to be, you know, in Dubai.
Yeah.
But can we like get this team going? And Thomas's weekly finishes so far, wide receiver 42, 56, and 48. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, we might have to bench him now. Until further notice, if he's only getting us one catch, 9 yards until a deep bomb, but even then, it's a little too late.
Yep,
it's scary. Yeah, and then also, like, how bad is that wrist injury actually? And
yep,
you know, we also seen videos of him giving up on plays, not putting himself in that, you know, making a business decision. Like, even the announcers have said that in week 2, it's not something you want to hear or think about. But yeah, I'm scared of him, and I'm overreacting for this as well. Ash and Jainty.
Yeah. I he's a guy that I hope winds up having a good college career. That way, people don't. Everybody that had doubts about him, that they were talking, you know, it's because of the school you went to. Never played like the big guys. but there's things like especially the Chargers game 2 weeks ago where he just trucked that guy. He was like, okay, that's the guy that we saw in college. But so far, he has not looked like the guy that we saw in college. I think that he's a guy that I'm not out on. I'm not as worried about him as I am as Brian Thomas. I think that sometimes when you come into the NFL as a running back, especially, it takes a little bit to get into becoming like an actual stud. I think he's got the tools. He's got the athleticism. I think he's going to be a lot slower starting than what people were hoping for, but I'm not as worried. I think it's just going to be something that people are going to have to wait, and it's hard to when you're taking a guy in the first round.
Yeah, I'm overreacting. Like, being a first-round draft pick, being that, you know, the next guy, even in dynasty leagues like we've seen, or even redraft, he was drafted in the first round, just like Marvin Harrison last week or last year. Neither one has done crap. Like, yeah. Marvin Harrison did not produce our expectations. It was not even close. JT is very off to a slow start, and I thought he would be great in Chip Kelly's offense. You know, they run the ball, but, you know, Geno Smith has been passing a crap ton. I feel like I have at least 33 game per game. I think it was.
Yeah, he had 40 something versus the Chargers.
Yeah. And last week, right? You're saying they played the Chargers.
Yeah, last week against the Chargers.
Yeah, he had 40. And the thing is, he didn't complete a single pass over 10 yards, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So he's had 29, 43, and 34. Like, those are not Chip Kelly / Pete Carroll kind of quarterbacks. They usually run the hell out of the ball and stop switching his stance. Just let him do. If he wants to do, you know, the Michael Myers and stand up straight up, let him be, because that's how he's comfortable. He's currently running back 32. It's not going to cut it for a guy that we drafted in redrafts in the first round. I'm scared right now for the ROI.
I didn't draft him anywhere, which might be why I'm not having the same reaction. I just felt like with their offensive line and stuff, I just didn't really like him. So,
yeah, I took him in a lot of best ball leagues in the end of first round. I also paired him up with Christian McCaffrey and a lot of them, but nonetheless, still scary.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Ladd McConkey. How do you feel?
I'm very worried. So last year they didn't have Keenan Allen. Him and Keenan Allen play the same roles. I didn't draft him anywhere this year because I was already worried about it to begin with. And then you saw, like, at the end of last year, Quentin Johnston started becoming the guy that they drafted him in the first round to be. And so far this year, it's been, you know, Quentin Johnston and Keenan Allen show. It's hard when you got a guy that's had so much rapport with him to come in and take over the same role in Keenan Allen. So he's a guy that I would say I have red flags for. So unless something happened to Keenan, I think that he's probably going to be the second fiddle there for him. And then you're not getting the same downfield throws as you do if you're Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, I mean, Quentin Johnston couldn't freaking catch a ball to save his life last year. Yep. This Keenan Allen, god damn it, man. You blocked Roma Dunze last year. Now you're blocking Ladd McConkey this year, you know, but McConkey's getting outproduced by his two teammates, like you said. You know, Keenan Allen is currently wide receiver 5.
That's insane.
And then on top of that, Quentin Johnson's wide receiver 7 right now. Like,
yeah,
those two are just mega producing. And Ladd McConkey was supposed to be the alpha there, and he is wide receiver 40. I know this is more of a run first team. I mean, maybe it's going to switch a little bit because, you know, the injury to the offensive line with Slater early on out for the season. Now we have an injury to Najee Harris. I don't know what to expect, but you even look at the target share. Allen 25%, Johnston 22%, McConkey has 19%, but those 19 are not that great of numbers at all compared to his teammates. So I am scared, especially he was a second round draft pick in redrafts as well. But yeah, it's scary seeing that.
I don't think he finishes as a wide receiver 1 this year, and I would be worried about him finishing in that wide receiver 2 range.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be top. I don't know if he'd be in the I think he'll probably be between 20 and 27 probably.
Yeah, top 30. It's on the fringe right now, you figure. unless if he could get some of those performances late like he did last year, especially the playoff game having 198 yards or whatever it was. But not when you have Allen and Johnston taking all the every target for touchdown and everything else. How about T. Higgins?
He's another one. I'm out on T. Higgins. I've been out on him. I didn't draft him anywhere the last 2 years. He's just a guy that he's so injury prone, and yeah, he can have a week. You know, in best ball, he's a great best ball player because he can go out there and he can win you the week, but then he can go out there, get one snap, and then you don't see him the rest of the game. And without Jake Browning, and having Joe, or with Jake Browning and without having Joe Burrow there, I'm out on T. Higgins. If I had him, I'd be trying to trade him, which it's going to be hard to do, but I don't think you're going to get much for production out of him this year.
Yeah. Especially, you know, trying to trade in redrafts is so hard, but I don't know what else to say for him because, like you said, he might get one catch. You know, that's what he had this past week. I'm not mistaken, something like that. He's been overshadowed by Jamar Chase. And then the downgrade from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning doesn't help either because Jake Browning is going to be like, oh, I'm going to do the best player on our team, Jamar Chase.
And he's if you look at when he played with Jake Browning last time, he had two good games, but Jamar Chase wasn't playing those 2 weeks. So,
Exactly. And you know, his ADP was 32. So early third or middle of third round. And he was 14th wide receiver off the board. He is giving us wide receiver 60 numbers. And it's going to only go downhill because like we said, Browning's not Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And we've seen what he was before with Jake Browning. So I'm in with you of trying to get out as quick as you can. Our last guy, Breece Hall. Talk to me.
I'd say I'm pretty worried about him too. He was a guy that his production has been going down the last couple of years ever since his injury. And he just doesn't look like the same athlete that when he was his first years coming out into the NFL. He doesn't look as explosive. He has a few runs where it's like, okay, I can kind of see him coming back. But to me, that whole team still kind of looks like it needs help offensively. And the thing, I guess his saving grace for Breece Hall is that you probably didn't draft him to be, you know, a top running back. He was kind of going later in drafts. And I just think that you're probably going to hope that you have better players and maybe play a matchup dependent.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Hall dominated in week one, giving us RB 10 finish on the week. Since then, he hasn't produced much. In favorable matchups as well, running back 43 and 28. Oof. I mean, this is a running back by committee for sure. They've been preaching about it all off season, and he's averaging 59% of snaps. I would not be surprised if that number keeps on going down as well. And I'm going to just predict Breece Hall for DJ Moore. Both teams need that help, you know, with Luther Burden, you know, showing out what he can do. He could be DJ Moore's guy or replacement for DJ Moore. Plus DJ Moore gets to play with Justin Fields again, where he had his best finish. And Ben Johnson gets his running back of the future, Breece Hall. I've been thinking that for a while. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but don't be surprised if he's traded by midseason. Yeah. I mean, they are, 0-3 right now, so I would not be surprised. And speaking of trades, give us a trade target you're considering and why.
Yeah, so for me, this might be weird just because I spoke poorly of the team earlier, but I think that Chase Brown is a trade target for me. Things have not been going very well with the Bengals this year after Burrow got injured, but they just played one of the best run defenses in the league in Minnesota, and you know they're going to have a pretty difficult game coming up here against Denver, and he's a talented running back. He's getting all the work there, and after Denver, it starts to get a little bit easier. I mean, you play Detroit, which you know they haven't been the same run stopping defense. You play Green Bay, which is difficult, but then you get to play Pittsburgh, New York, Chicago, Pittsburgh again, which those are all pretty easy run defenses so far on the year. And I think that the Bengals will figure it out, and Jake Browning will figure it out, and I think that Chase Brown is gonna take off, and I think you could get him pretty cheap right now. People are very scared of the Bengals offense.
Yeah, I mean, also on top of that, yeah, for PPR leagues, I think he's gonna get a lot of checkdowns because yep. Browning doesn't want to get hit like Burrow did, and so he's gonna check it down a lot, which gives Chase Brown a lot of targets. I mean, he had 5 this past week, caught 4 of them. Yep. I mean, that's where you're going to get a lot of points. I like it. One of mine is Cam Scataboo. In the first real time as a starter, he produced so much. 10 carries, 60 yards on the ground, and a score. And he was involved in the passing game. 8 targets. 6 yes. catches for 61 yards. It's their, you know, the Giants' Christian McCaffrey, if you will. And now Tyrone Tracy's going to be missing time with an injury. Like, I wish somebody would have, you know, said this last week of getting him, but it might be a little too late now that Tracy is injured and this is a for sure RB1 starter.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not going to talk about, hey, go get, you know, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, because it's unrealistic. No one's going to trade you unless if you're trading those two. So we're just giving you mid-tier guys that potentially can help your team. I mean, even Jordan Mason, I would love to trade, but after the week he had, that ain't going to happen. You got another one for me?
Yeah, and this one is it might be a little bit – more difficult to swing a trade for, but he has not looked good so far. Their offense has not looked good so far. And people, they get very emotional. I would say Drake London. He's a very talented wide receiver, and talent always wins out. He has not played very well. He's wide receiver 40 on the year. He was a guy that was drafted in the second round. And like I said, people get emotional about, you know, their draft picks. You expect him to go through and be a stud. I think that Atlanta figures stuff out, and he's getting the targets. You know, he had 15 in week one. They played against Minnesota, which Minnesota is a tough defense. And then after people seeing him play against Carolina, they're, you know, and he's only getting 10 points in a full PPR league, people are gonna be pretty emotional. I mean, before this week, you probably could have traded for A.J. Brown. I don't think that's going to be happening anymore. So I would say that Drake London is a guy that you could probably go out and, you know, maybe make a package deal and trade somebody that had a big week or has looked decent so far, and maybe be able to trade for a guy like Drake London that is probably going to still finish at least in the top, you know, the top 20 guys. He's not gonna be the number one anymore, which I thought he might have a chance, but he's a guy that he's a stud, and I would say try to trade for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still gonna have a top 15. Week one he is showing out, you know, and then he got a bunch of targets in the end zone and then injures his shoulder, and he is questionable going into that Minnesota game, you know.
Yep.
I love the call because I am a huge fan of Drake London. I mean, I thought he was going to be a top 5 wide receiver this year, but
Yeah, this is the only targets chance you're probably going to get to be able to trade for him.
Definitely. I would totally agree with that one. For mine, I'm sticking in the same division. Chris Olave. He's been mid so far this season, so that means you're not going to pay a hefty penny to acquire him. And his injury concern has always been there, so that's another huge, you know, upside for trading for him. But let me read you his targets in the first three games. 13, 10, 14. Now, we're going for, you know, quantity. I mean, that's a lot of quality, but the quantity is what we're going for. We're going for a 10, not a 5, you know. But,
yep,
you know, he secured 23 of the 37 targets. The issue is, you know, we don't know who's always going to be the quarterback. It's Spencer Rattler or what, but you would assume later in the year they're going to build some kind of connection, whatever, you know, the quarterback is. And right now he's already commanding 31% of targets, his target share. He's a must get for me currently. Yeah. Wide receiver 24, and I expect those numbers increasing bearing any injury, obviously, but everyone
insane amount of targets every single week,
double digit targets. Yeah. And say he, you know, even this past week, yeah, he had 14, he caught 10 of them. Like that's 10 points in PPR leagues. He got 57 yards or whatever. Just imagine if he breaks one of those, an extra, you know, 10 yards, 20 yards, or catches a touchdown or whatever the case may be. And right now, he's not producing very high, but he will, in my opinion. And so the trade value isn't going to be as high.
Yeah. No, that's a great call out. The targets have been insane for him, and he's a talented wide receiver. That's what you always got to count on, talent.
Yep. Ohio State talent.
Ohio State wide receiver talent.
All right. Let's
Except for Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. He'll figure it out sometime. He'll just, you know what? In the offseason, he'll put 30 pounds of muscle on. That's what it is. Let's move into our waivers, and then we'll get both of us on out of here. We both got early mornings. Go through your waiver ads for each position.
Yeah, so I'm going to start at the wide receiver position. A guy that I think you should go out and you should get he's a guy that I've been kind of seeing the trend for. So I've actually got him. I picked him up last week in a lot of leagues. Is Trey Tucker. He's only 6% rostered on Sleeper, and he has been getting a lot of targets starting the last 2 weeks. He had 8 versus the Chargers and 9 or Chargers and 9 this past week. He's playing on 90% of all the snaps this year. And Geno Smith is a guy that likes to chuck it down the field and chuck it a lot. He's historically a pretty accurate passer of the ball. He led the league in completion percentages in Seattle, and I expect him to keep that up there. And as a guy that's probably, you know, he caught 3 touchdowns last year. They were garbage time, but still, he's a guy that can take the top off the defense. He's fast. I've been kind of, like I said, I picked him up everywhere last week that I could. I would say go out there and get him.
But did you start him against me?
I did not start him.
Thank you, Russell, for only getting 6 points in that week. Go ahead and finish it off with all your waiver picks.
Yeah, for tight end, Britton Strange, tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is only 30% rostered on Sleeper. So what I have for him is he's had 4 targets in each game this season. And this is a role that Evan Engram was very productive in. He's a big target that's going to be close to the line of scrimmage. You hope that Trevor Lawrence will be able to see him and maybe get him the ball a few times, unlike he can do for his wide receivers. For my running backs, so I'm going to do my main one is Chris Rodriguez from Washington. He was a healthy scratch for his first 2 weeks, which you don't like to see. But Austin Eckler is out now, and he came in and he started the running back. It is a running back by committee but the coaches did say that they want to get Rodriguez in at the goal line, and he's a flex player that has touchdown upside. And then I'm going to do a bonus pick for you guys, kind of like the Trey Tucker, where you can maybe stash him and throw him on his bench before he breaks out. Woody Marks from Houston. Their running game has been not good this year, but he's starting to see his opportunities go up every single week. And Nick Chubb has not looked like the same Nick Chubb. I know he got a touchdown last week. There was speculation that maybe that they let him score. But he has not looked like the same running back. So I would say pick up Woody Marks. He's a guy that he could come and take over the backfield. For my quarterback, I have Geno Smith, also from the Raiders. He's only rostered in 23% of the leagues. And if you don't look again at the game that he had with the Chargers, he's played better than what it would show on paper. He's been a good quarterback in Seattle, which is a very similar offense. And he has good weapons, including Trey Tucker. But I think he's a guy that you can pick up, throw him into your spot, especially if you got guys that are going on bye. And I'd say he's been a good quarterback. So go grab him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going back to Chris Rodriguez, yeah, he was healthy scratch the first 2 weeks, but they had Eckler.
Yep.
But what about Jeremy McNichols? He's a special teamers, you know, teams player. So that's why they're going to have him over Chris Rodriguez, which is only running back, you know. He also can catch passes, but I love that. He was the first guy up in that Commanders offense. You know, I had a lot of people asking me, what about Jacory Kroskin-Merritt this week? No, do not play. It was a wait and see how they distribute it. And truthfully, Merritt's touchdown came at garbage time, to be honest.
Yep.
I'm going to still say do not play him until further notice. But I really like the Woody Marks call. I'm very high on him. I know Joe Mixon, we don't know what's going on with him. He looked more efficient than Nick Chubb. And on top of that, I just seen a report and I was watching over it. He was in the 2 minutes and third down role in the backfield instead of Dar Omugwale, which is huge because that means he's getting the pass catches. They trust him in pass protection, which means he's going to be on the field a lot more. So I expect him to play a lot more as the season progresses. And this team's 0-3, so they might want to see what they have in him. I love the call.
Thanks.
For mine, I'm going to go quarterback. I had Geno Smith, you know, just like you said. But I'm going to switch it up to Matthew Stafford. He'd be the next man I'd want in free agency. And if I'm in need of one, you know, if I had Joe Burrow or any of these other quarterbacks and you're streaming the rest of the year, I mean, so far he's put up QB 20, 19, and 13. I think he started slow because of back injury. Like, you know, they're not going to throw it 30, 40 times right away with him having that back soreness. He's available in 70% of leagues, and he's got two stud receivers in Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. I really like what he's produced the last couple weeks, especially against the Eagles as a, you know, QB 13. So he's my ad of the week for quarterback. My running back, I mean, who can you not say? It's Trey Benson. He's got to be the number one available or added running back this week. He's available in 40% of the leagues and or 40% in sleeper. Connor's out for the year. I mean, I might just put 50% of my budget down if I have him, you know, going after him. He's going to be involved in the passing game. He's almost averaging over 6 yards per carry. Don't overthink it and just go out and get Benson. My wide receiver, I do like your Trey Tucker. I'm going to go, though, Alec Manoa. Something like that. Yeah, Alec Manoa for Tennessee. He's playing over 70% of snaps. He's a rookie. Week one, he struggled. Week 2 and 3, he's put up wide receiver 2 numbers in back-to-back weeks. And once again, Cam Ward has not looked great at all. But he's found Amonor back-to-back weeks for touchdowns. He's outproducing Calvin Ridley, getting, you know, more production out of him. Ridley might get a little bit more targets, but he ain't coming down with it like Amonor. And yep. Amonor is a big-time red zone target. He's a tall, lengthy guy, and he was a stud in college for Stanford. So that is my ad for wide receiver. And again, you took Brenton Strange from me, so no, I'm just kidding. I'll let you have it. So my guy, I'm going to pick who you suggested, Aronde Gadsden. This is my guy from Syracuse. I'm a huge Syracuse fan, as everyone knows probably already on this podcast and show. In the first 2 games, again, he was healthy scratch. So week 3 was his debut. He had 7 targets, caught 5 for 46. This is also competing with Allen, Johnston, and McConkey. He still got 7 targets. He's available in 98% of leagues. But I will note, the only reason he was probably not a healthy scratch was because Will Disley is dealing with a knee injury. So the future does look a little cloudy. I wouldn't put a whole bunch of fab on him. I'd put like $1, $2. A lot of people probably won't even pick him up or even notice who he is. So it might be a free waiver ad. But this is somebody you're going to want to look and see, especially if Disley is out, because he is the next man up in that passing role.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the picks. Yeah. Trey Benson, if he's out there, he's not available in any of my leagues, but yeah, throw all your money on him. And then, yeah, for the tight end for the Chargers, it's hard to pronounce his name.
Aronde Gadsden.
There you go. Aronde Gadsden. It's good that he came out and he was the guy that came out and was able to catch his targets. You know, you play your way onto the field. Will Disley is not anything special. And for a guy that they drafted pretty highly, and coaches like to get their players out and teams like to get the players out that they drafted. So I like that pick too.
Yeah. Well. I mean, even in Syracuse, he was a monster target hog. He averaged like 700-800 yards for a tight end. It's quite a bit for a run first team.
Yep.
But yeah, just watch and see if Disley is healthy or not, because that might make it matter. But nonetheless, stash him. And I'm actually going to say this right now, because I've been dealing or thinking about it. Add Jackson Dart now. I know he probably won't play for a week or 2 or 3, but if he plays, he gives you the rushing upside, just like he reminds me of Drake May. You know, he could pass it, give you that rushing upside, and he's big, tall, and I hope they play him soon, because I want Neighbors to actually have catchable balls instead of hospital balls, because if Wilson keeps throwing how he is, Neighbors is going to seriously get hurt, just like he did at the end of the game with a shoulder injury, but he came back in. But I love, if you have a deep bench, go ahead and stash him right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't play Russell Wilson, as I learned.
Thank you for as playing I learned him. This
week. Yeah. I was looking at your quarterbacks with Gina or with Matt Stafford. And I was like, man, if I only had picked a safe guy like Matt Stafford instead of being like, oh, I'm just going to throw Russ. And yeah, that burned me. I needed 8 points out of him. And
yeah, 6 points.
What a garbage quarterback.
Well, you know, not every week you play against Dallas. Cause I mean, oh, Caleb Williams put up 4 touchdowns. Yeah. And we know it's Dallas's defense is the issue. Yeah. Not that Russ is cooking anymore, but there's a, the wrap for today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to follow, like, subscribe, click that bell notification if you're on the podcast, because you can listen anywhere you get your podcast at. Big shout out to you, Steven, for joining me once again. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you on a lot more. So be prepared for Texas of, you know, telling the wife, hey, I'm going to set aside some time for my favorite brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And remember, check out his podcast, The Bogey Breakdown for Golf. You know,
that's right.
I hope to be on that with, you know, how we golfed on Saturday. But
that's right.
Nonetheless, always follow me on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, LouisLewis5. You have anything you need to say before we head out?
Yeah, just make sure you're active in these waiver wires and take a look ahead at what rookies and especially rookies are doing at this time of year. This is put up or shut up time for them. So,
yeah, awesome.
Thanks for having me on, Jake.
Since you mentioned that, be sure to plan out your bye weeks now because they're starting up in 2 weeks. So, you know, Packers have a bye week in week 5. You have Jordan Love. Think of a matchup for your quarterback against a certain team or whatever you're going to replace. So be sure you're active and looking at your team and seeing when their bye week is and get that favorable matchup instead of waiting. Oh, crap. Hey, he just produced numbers. Now I can't get them or put a waiver claim in.
Yep. Now you got to spend up.
Yep. Till this week, I will be back on with Bill giving us the starts and sits of the week. But until then, I'll see you fantasy heads later. Peace.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. Many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.